Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. Again, my name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are starting your week off once again with us. It is always good to have David Cishon with us. David, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing fine, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, again, David is with us each week, and we just talk about all the things that we can and try to give our listening audience some things to think about, some education side. As David says, education is that great equalizer. And today is something that, none of us want to think about, but, when it comes that time and someone passes dividing the property and, David, I love your term, or family Armageddon. So, man, even some stories maybe you might want to share one or two of the ones that went right and the ones that didn't have everything, you know, all done up was bad.
I'll give you a couple of quick examples, and then we can talk about some more specifics. But, and these are all recent. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, we had a couple of clients pass on the last month. And of course, when you do the right planning and you got things in order, it's a different story than the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you an example, the wife and daughter came in, and of course they're very upset. They lost their husband and dad unexpectedly, and they were literally a mess in the office, very upset. And they sat down and they said, "Well, what do we have to do?" And I said, "Well, Doris, you don't have to do anything. Everything's in order. Everything's is all set. The attorneys are aware. Financially, there's no concern.
Wow.
Your income is going to stay the same. The reduction in the Social Security is going to be covered by XYZ that we have off to the side. And the trust document has been... reviewed, and all you have to do, Doris, is read the trust document, talk to the attorney, and everything will flow. There's no rush, no hurry, nothing has to be done."
Man.
And you could just see. Now, she knew this before, but everybody forgets these things.
Well, sure.
And her daughter, you could just see the relief across their face, like they couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, "Are you sure?"
Right.
I said, "Yes, sir. Everything is set. Not a problem." And of course, they did have a family trust. And it wasn't they had the family trust not because they had a lot of money, okay? They had the family trust so that when something like this happens, the next day is a non-legal event.
Man, that's
a great
way to put it.
They don't have to rush to court. They don't try to call this and call that and do all these kinds of things. But it was set in place. Now, the opposite happens. My partner, who's an estate planning attorney, has been in court with two family members that have been fighting over the most nonsensical things that the parents left. And these were items. This wasn't cash or money. But these were items that they considered of some value to themselves. I don't know if I should say great value, but they're so adamant in fighting this out. It has been 2 years. And 2 years in 12 court appearances, apparently, from what I'm told. And the estate, which is less than $500,000, is now less than $250,000 because of legal fees on both sides.
Man, that's horrible.
For an item that you and I probably wouldn't pay a couple hundred bucks for. I mean, Those are rare stories, but they're true stories. The most recent one here, where they didn't have anything in place, the documents weren't in place. So in order to move assets, as long as it's a certain value, you got to go to probate court. And the guy had a will, but nothing in the will stated things. He didn't have any separate letters written where these assets are going to go or how they should be broken up. And we'll talk a little bit about how that can be done. But it is just a detriment, not only emotionally,
sure,
but financially to the remaining beneficiaries. It's such a shame these things have to happen. And it's at a time where emotions can run very, very deep. And this is why the best thing to do is state whatever you want to be done with certain things, assets, transfers, so forth and so on. And then normally, if it's done the right way, it's a relatively smooth road to hoe.
Wow. And what a difference of just, I mean, while having a horrible conversation that's sad, and well, I know you feel bad for them as well, but yet then what a turnaround to be able to have a good, confident conversation with them, and as you said, to take all of that off of them.
Yeah, it is really very, very, it makes you feel really good to be able to turn around and say to them, you don't have to worry. Everything is set. Everything's in order. You're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the next steps. Really simple. Don't worry about anything legally going forward.
Right.
And just that feeling alone puts those people in a different frame of mind. And that's the way it should be for everybody. You see, everybody can do this.
Sure.
But so many people don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not a matter of whether you have a trust or a will or something. The problem is people don't pay attention because there's always tomorrow.
Right.
We'll look at it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll call for a checkup tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, tomorrow changes because something happens today.
Yeah, no doubt. Once again, you're listening to The Educated Investor. David C. Shawn is our guest each week. 720-482-1917 is the number. And David, like you said, and again, you know, you would know better than I, but I would imagine most of the things and that people do argue over or the most upset about are, like you said, the almost worthless things in real. But like you, emotion plays a big key, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, especially when the kids or the beneficiaries say, well, Dad said I could have this. And the other guy said, what do you mean, Dad? Dad said I could have this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it starts. This emotional value, more than monetary value, when a loved one is gone, causes a lot of riff and a lot of aggravation. And so in there starts the big fighting and the evolutionary process that thick people let their minds wander and start saying things to each other that doesn't help resolve it. It just hinders it more and more and more.
Sure.
You know, we want to let people know that we're not going to be taken by what they said, so we're going to end up insulting, and then it ends up legally, and then it's just a mess. And all of these things can be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's solutions if people want to do them, you know, that we see work a lot for a lot of folks. For example, even if they have a will, they'll have a letter or a piece of paper attached to it that says, you know, these are the specific items, that picture on the wall, so forth. This is going to Sarah, and then this thing over here is going to Joe. And you list them, okay? Not difficult, real easy. As a matter of fact, most attorneys, when they do the will or even a trust, all right, they'll tell them. There's either a section in the back or something. Here, use this piece of paper and put in what you want, who the beneficiaries are of these individual items that don't have great value except for sentimental values, and just state them. It makes life easier. Stating them like that, I guess they call it, it's not a force of law, but most likely people follow those wishes that are listed. And it works really well when there's relatively few items of any great importance. There's other solutions that can come into play that maybe aren't as good or as personable, but sometimes the wills, if someone has a will, will direct the executor to distribute them equally.
Right.
Now, and that's good, but it's kind of vague.
Sure.
You know, what does that mean? And siblings, of course, can get involved in discussions about that. But we've even seen it where, in fact, my partner has an elk head in his office, and he's had it in his office for 9.5 months because they can't reach agreement as to which one of the two kids are going to get it.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you know, and of course, causes problems. Now, another solution that we've seen people use is appraisers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go to the American Society of Appraisers, and they'll come in and they'll look at all these different things. And from dollars and cents, you know, material value, all right, they'll put dollars and cents on every item that you want.
Right.
It won't account for sentimental value, unfortunately.
Sure.
But we've seen the appraisers do that, and at least it settles the dollar amounts. The other thing we've seen in wills, and I know you have an excellent attorney that deals in this stuff, and he'll tell you, too, that that the executor is told to sell everything,
mm-hmm.
all personal stuff, whatever you get.
Right.
And then they just split the dollars up. But again, you can have people that want to contest those things, those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've seen that was kind of interesting was a lottery process. When the kids were just adamant, or the beneficiaries, it might be kids, but adamant, and they would draw numbers or straws. Yeah. And
wow.
And then they'd pick them out of the hat, literally, and whoever win gets the first pick. And then the next round, the one that lost gets the next pick. I mean, this is like, you know, is this really necessary? And unfortunately, I've seen just about everything.
Right.
Even from the standpoint where there's just, let's say, two beneficiaries or two children, let's just say, they flip a coin. They flip a coin who has the first thing, you know.
Oh, man. Next thing you know, it'll be that rock, paper, scissors game, you know, where you slap your hands on a palm of your hand. Yeah. Jeez.
But you know, what's interesting, even about that simple thing of flipping the coin, the first one gets to select first, and that first one can use his sentimental value to pick that item that he wants. And then the loser, the next, maybe he couldn't get that one, but he can get the next one that's, you know, has the sentimental value that why he wants to pick it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some advantages to that kind of an approach, depending on the number of people that are involved.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say somebody has all their documents, you know, from you, and all of a sudden, but then all of a sudden one kid pulls out a piece of paper that mom or dad signed and wrote something else, and it's not notarized anything. It's just a handwritten note and signed. So my first question would be, what would happen with that? And does it change things if something is notarized on just some other separate piece of paper?
Well, of course, it all depends on the timing.
Yeah.
What's the date? You know, number one is that, you know, I'm not an attorney, so I really
understand.
Would defer my or defer to your guy. But the fact being that anything, these letters or notes can support the decedent's wishes, but like I said, they could. Not have the weight of law behind them if someone wants to contest them. That's what's hard to for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a note about personal items in with the will, doesn't necessarily have to be attached to it, but so, just the person wrote down these items are going to go to who. And signed and dated, that's normally fine. And if it's a date after that signed, and if he's of sound mind, you know, which means that if there's a will, the court's got to go to probate. I mean, it's got to go to probate normally, and they've got to determine whether he's in the right mind to make these things at this time.
Right. Now, how many copies of things are made? Like, if you have a client, I mean, so I guess you keep something, and then would, like, their attorney keep something, and then you give them a copy, and then, of course, they can...
Well, here's what...
how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, what we... what normally happens, or what should happen, is that the client has the documents drawn by an attorney, saying whatever they want to say. And like with this... With our attorney, they put together a little binder,
mm-hmm.
and actually they have they suggest to the clients that they take this binder and keep it in their library on one of their shelves, so that the originals are there, and keep copies of those estate planning documents in their safe deposit box or somewhere else, and they're safe in their house. But the problem and the reason they suggest that is because someone dies, there's always a lot of course, emotion and confusion and so forth. And trying to search and find documents is a tedious process in some situations. But if that document is right there, mm-hmm. where people can see it, estate planning of so-and-so, whatever it says, they can go right to it, and it saves a lot of aggravation and time. That's what our attorneys like to see people do.
Gotcha.
And not put the original documents in a safe deposit box. Some people think that they should, but the problem with that is, what happens when someone dies? And the institution hears about it or finds out, I am told, that they lock the safe deposit boxes. Well, how are you going to get into it if they lock it, if they find out?
Sure.
You know, so you could add another person on it, but we've had situations where there's just the decedent, even though he's married and the wife couldn't get at it. It's just things that people do for reasons that God only knows.
Right.
And that's why you have an estate planning attorney.
Exactly.
Does this stuff. They know what to do. And if they make a mistake, as I tell my clients, if they make a mistake, they have errors and omissions
mm-hmm.
insurance. All right? The documents you got off the internet for Colorado... or down at the Office Depot place,
yeah, right?
They don't have any, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to make sure that estate planning documents are there where everybody can see them and find them, and then in those documents, they have an initial little tag or page that says, if something happens, call this person. Call David Cishan. Call Mr. XYZ attorney
right.
at this number, you know, and be done with it. Because there's so much to do. And one of these shows that we'll do is what should be done when someone dies.
Yes, sir.
I think that's a good one to do. There's a lot of things, but I want to tell you, when the people that have done them and got them in place makes life real easy.
Yes, sir. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, we hear every day when we watch the news, or if you still pick up a newspaper, you'll see things where, you know, tragically, you know, maybe a husband or wife was killed or whatever, or sometimes both of them, and then the family knows absolutely nothing in that case. So, yeah, while it's a terrible topic to talk about, it's reality, and,
yep.
you know, and it's something that everyone can get help with for sure. Again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Educated Investor Show with David Cishan, brought to you by the Householder Group. They are estate and retirement specialist, and their number is 720-482-1917. So, David, as far as, you know, kind of reviewing people's plans mm-hmm. and stuff, I mean, what are mm-hmm. a couple of the events in life that you would say, you know, hey, it's time to bring your plan in and, you know, let us just give you that second opinion if you weren't the ones that originally drew it up. But even if you were the ones that drew it up, what are some of those life events that happen to just to make sure their plan is up to date all the time?
Well, you know, again, the documents, the will, for example, in Colorado is, you know, like most states, it's state run wills. The rules and regulations are by the state and how the will has to be prepared and so forth. And so a lot of people will come in with a will, but they've done what most people do. They've got that will. They stuck it in a drawer. And now 21 years later, they found it, and they said, geez, maybe we ought to update, because you could have the birth of a child. You could you could kind of disinherit one. Perhaps that you didn't want to. So the birth of a child is an important event. Maybe the purchase of a house is an important event, or property, other types of property. Maybe the executor or personal representative that you have in your will moved out of the state, or moved out of the country, or passed away, or got ill and sick and is not able to help and do the things that they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Things like my son, who is supposed to take over this business and show financial responsibility, is off traveling around in Europe with two or three blondes and brunettes on the back of his motorcycle and spending every dollar we're sending him.
Right.
I mean, there's any number of issues. And kids are old enough. I mean, they're over 18 or 21.
Sure.
They don't need a guardian that you've named in there, you know? There are so many different situations. What we recommend people to do is, once they have it done, and maybe, you know, it's the will, of course, but it's also the ancillary documents that go with the will. The financial power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
The medical power of attorney. You've appointed someone. Maybe that someone isn't capable anymore of doing that. May not be in the will, it may be in these ancillary documents.
Right.
Or you might change your living will, which is your right to die. We had one couple, this was 2 months ago, but came in, and his will was very specific because of a prior marriage. And the prior marriage, his wife died a number of years ago, and she was a very big lover of the Rocky Mountains. So her ashes were spread over the Rocky Mountains. This guy died, and his current spouse found the document and had initially, and they had talked about this, but found the document, and indeed in the document he expressed his concern. He wanted to join his prior wife in the Rocky Mountains, so they got the airplane out there and they dispersed his ashes out there. But without communicating that, without knowing about that, this lady could have just had a normal funeral.
Sure.
And didn't go along with the will before the will was even probated. You know, I mean, there are things that can happen because these wills and ancillary documents are all state run.
Sure.
And by the time someone dies and it goes to probate, you know, it can take some time before the will gets to probate, especially if they can't find it right away. and you may not know what his intentions are or hers.
Yeah.
Upon the death.
Man.
It's really, I've seen it all. I mean, I could go
Boy,
on
no
for
doubt.
Hours.
Yeah, no doubt. And folks, hey, as David said three or four times throughout this show today, all of the negative aspects that we've talked about are 100% avoidable, okay? But you've got to make the first call. 720-482-1917 is the number. You can check out the website, cichonfinancialservices.com. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. And when you call, just let them know you heard David here on The Educated Investor. David, as always, our time goes so quick, but we appreciate your time and hope you have a great week, sir.
Yeah, you have a great week, and we'll see you again soon.
All right, sir. That is David Cichon. Once again, Cichon Financial, 720-482-1917. We'll be back with more right after this.
Rates are low, but are you still paying too much interest? Why continue to pay most of your interest up front like a conventional loan when you can use the asset manager to save thousands in unnecessary interest costs? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. The asset manager is a simple interest loan, which means when your payoff decreases, your payment decreases, and so does your interest. Our clients are paying off their home in half the time, they're not changing their spending habits, and they have access to their equity for 30 years, even after it's paid off. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Think about it. This simple interest loan allows you to own your home faster, access your equity for 30 years, which means never having to refinance over and over and over again to pay off debts or for home improvements. No more requalifying, no more additional cost. Call 720-895-0500, Affordable Interest Mortgage, and see for yourself. You're in control, not the bank. NMLS 298191, regulated by DOR, Equal Credit Lender.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh & Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh & Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. This is AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Watley. We are glad to have Dr. Perry Maynard with us today from Integrated Health Systems. Dr. Maynard, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing well, bud. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Had a Friendsgiving with some friends and went to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra on Saturday, which was fun. I'd never been, so it was a good weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Well, good. Excellent. Well, you know, our topic today, I don't know if we've ever just kind of done a show where we're focusing on this, but it is absolutely a great topic, and we're going to talk a little bit about our balance today and balance issues. So I guess we'll just kind of start out, you know, real simply. I mean, what is it in our brain or whatever that controls our balance?
That is a great question. And the cool thing about balance is that there's lots and lots of parts of the brain that play a role in balance. So balance could actually be a very good indicator into overall brain health. More specifically, what I want us to really focus on today is kind of three main systems that may be involved if someone is having balance issues. So if you think about balance, right, balance is our ability to keep our center of mass, right, over, in essence, our kind of base of supports, right, within our feet. So we have our center of mass, and we need to keep that in a certain center of pressure, right? And the problem is when that center of mass moves outside our center of pressure or outside of our base of support, that falls really happen, right? And so we know that the three big systems that allows us to stay stable are, one, kind of our feet, and then what is called our proprioceptive system, which is all the information coming from our muscles and our joints allowing us to know where is our body. So where is our trunk relative to our feet? Where is my leg relative to my feet, right? Where is the position of everything? So I know, am I kind of moving, right? And the other two are my inner ear and then also my eyes and my vision. And all three of those systems have to really work together to give us an idea to make our balance stable. And sometimes when one of those systems is not working well, one can develop balance issues, right? And that's really the important thing, is that not everyone's balance issues are the same, and people can have balance issues for many, many different reasons. But usually it's when there's some sort of breakdown in one of those three systems that allows us to understand where we are in the world.
Right. So how do we refer to balance issues? Sometimes is it a can it be a short-lived thing where somebody just has an issue and then it kind of goes away, or there are balance disorders? I mean, what's the right phrase to use when talking about this?
Yeah, I mean, it can be all of the above. So you can have specific right disease processes that definitely cause balance disorders. But you can also just have issues in balance or, you know, coordination. And that's the thing sometimes is sometimes people don't know how to describe it. So maybe they describe it as, you know, their balance is off, or they feel uncoordinated, or they don't feel stable on their feet. So, you know, there's really no specific way, you know, necessarily to label it. Like you said, there are certain diseases that will cause balance issues because maybe a certain process will affect your brain, or maybe let's take diabetes for an example. Diabetes can cause neuropathies, which can cause numbness in the feet, which then can cause balance issues. So it's usually different disorders will cause alterations in either your feet or your proprioceptive system or your inner ear or your vision, or it will affect the parts of your brain that really integrate and modulate those three systems to then allow you to be stable. So it can be all above. Usually it's something else affecting those systems, and then it leads to you being unstable on your feet.
Gotcha. I think we've all been where we've been sitting down for a while, or you've been overdoing something, you raise up real quick, and all of a sudden, you know, you kind of get dizzy. So is that something that ever should be concerning, or it just depends on how many times that's happening to you on a daily basis?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, lightheadedness with standing, you know, I'd say there's certain scenarios where maybe it's not as much of a big deal. You know, it's definitely something that you don't want to be seeing happening on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then more specifically, something that then is really actually affecting your balance, like falling or something like that. You know, occasionally once in a blue, you know, you'll see this sometimes in individuals if, you know, they've been maybe lying on the couch for a long period of time, they get up for a split second and then it goes away. That's not too big of a deal per se. Or, you know, maybe they haven't been eating, they skipped a meal or things like that, right? So it can happen normally and not be anything pathological. But when you're seeing it happening on a daily basis, or it's happening and it's severe enough that it is causing things like brain fog or you're falling, you know, because what we don't want to happen is that you stand up, pass out, and then all of a sudden hit your head, and then you have a bigger problem. So there's one aspect of that, you know, you don't want individuals getting too faint when they stand up, because it can lead to worse things like syncope, where an individual might lose consciousness. But also, if it's something that's happening on a daily basis, it can sometimes be a sign that something going on in your ability to regulate blood pressure, right, or your heart rate. So sometimes you can see it in cardiac issues. So really when people stand and they get dizzy, my brain goes to one or two things. There's either a little bit of issue in their ability to regulate blood pressure and their vitals. So something going on with the connection between the brain and the cardiovascular system. And then also you can see that sometimes with inner ear issues. So sometimes there can be specific inner ear issues that really only present to be a problem when people change positions, right? Or what's called a positional vertigo. So really it only happens when someone's going from lying to seated, or seated to standing, or lying to standing. You know, and sometimes they can feel the same. But it's really important to figure out which is which, because the treatment can be very, very, very different. So, I think once in a blue moon, very subtle, you know, goes away, not a big deal. But if you're noticing it on a regular basis, you know, and you're not able to make it go away, or it's getting to the point where you're getting like tunnel vision, that's a point that you need to be getting it checked out.
Right. Dr. Perry Maynard is our guest. Once again, Integrated Health Systems, their number 303-781-5617. So do you get people that come in, and I mean, that's kind of their main issue with balance, or usually you're seeing them about something else, and then you kind they kind of open up and talk about this balance issue?
Yeah, no, so both. So I definitely have a lot of patients that come into me specifically because their balance is off, or they're dizzy, or they're getting dizzy with standing, or they're getting dizzy with walking. So that is a big patient base that I see. So a lot of individuals come with that. And then I do have a lot of individuals that maybe have, you know, other chief complaints, and then all of a sudden they realize how much their balance is off and how unstable. So I do have patients who may say, like, no, I feel good. My balance feels good. I feel stable. And then when we test it, you know, there are fall risks. So I definitely have patients who come to me for that, but we also have patients where, you know, just with the intensity and the in-depth testing that we do, we're sometimes able to identify those things that people, you know, don't even notice themselves.
Right. So is this usually an age kind of thing where you say, hey, we mostly see this in people over 40, 50, 60, whatever, or you just, it can affect anyone?
It can really affect anyone. I mean, is it more common probably statistically in older individuals? Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I see it very much in my patient base that has head injuries. So you see it a lot in concussions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it sometimes after infections or people get sick. I mean, I think the reason it's more common in older individuals is because you're going to see higher rates of maybe things like diabetes or inner ear disorders or those things. So, yes, it's more common in older individuals, but, I mean, I have patients in their 20s with balance issues, so age does not always discriminate.
Right. Now, you mentioned vertigo, and from what I just know about it, that is in the inner ear, right?
So it can be. So, yeah, vertigo, so that's a kind of a funny thing. So when you look at the true definition of vertigo, right, is a spinning of you or the world. But a lot of times people will describe their dizziness as vertigo, but it may not be true vertigo per se. It might be more of a lightheadedness or a disorientation or a floating, or they feel like they're rocking on a boat or unstable on their feet. They may label it as vertigo, but those are two very different things. I mean, for the most part, true vertigo usually is, yes, an inner ear issue, or it's a problem in the parts of the brain that interpret what the inner ear are saying. So it's kind of like the inner ear is the TV, and then a part of your brain is the TV repair shop, right? And they have to work together for the TV to work appropriately. So either one of those can cause vertigo, which then, of course, can cause then balance issues.
All right. So let's kind of talk about maybe the testing that you may do for someone, because come up with a proper diagnosis, which you guys are really good at. What kind of, you know, testing do you put someone through to kind of figure out what their source of their problem is?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So one of the first things we do with patients is, like we talked about, we have to look at all those different mechanisms. So one of the first things is we look at their vitals, so their blood pressure and heart rate, but in a little bit different way where we look at it in different positions. So we take it lying, seated, and standing. So we make it a little bit more dynamic to see, okay, are they regulating their blood pressure and their heart rate in different positions to make sure that there's not a vascular or blood flow component to their balance issue. Next, we do a very dynamic balance testing where we put individuals on a like a balance sensor, so a force sensor that can really map out a lot in regards to their balance. So we do eyes open, eyes closed, and then we put them on foam, eyes open, eyes closed, and then we turn their head. So what I'm doing there is I am manipulating these different sensory systems to see how do they affect balance. So if we think about it, when I'm on a hard surface, I'm using all of my sensory systems. And then when I close my eyes, I'm now relying more on my inner ear and my feet. And then I put someone on foam. I'm now taking away their feet and seeing how well can their eyes and their inner ear maintain balance. And then close their eyes on foam. We're now looking at how well can their inner ear maintain balance. So we're teasing out and we're challenging all of the different systems that control balance and seeing how well do they do. So that can give me an idea of, okay, it's their inner ear causing balance issues, or it's their feet, or it's their eyes. And then we do some really intense testing to look a little bit more at inner ears and inner ear reflexes, so how well does the inner ear work. And then we look at the eyes and how well do the eyes scan the environment and things like that. So really we look at all the systems that integrate into balance, and we single them out, and then we put them together to see where is the weak point in the system. Because then once we can find that, we can create a custom therapy to work on that system for their balance issue, because you can't necessarily do the same things for balance for everyone because there can be different reasons. So that's kind of the initial testing. And then I do a little bit more testing where I look at, can they feel their feet? Are their legs strong or weak? How do their reflexes look at, right? So I look at all the rest of the brain and the way the brain controls the body to see where are the weak points in this link, right? Or where are the kink in the armor, in essence. So find that weak point and then address that weak point.
Wow. And you mentioned a word which I just had scribbled in my notes here, therapy. So that's kind of what it is once you come to that diagnosis. And this may take a little while to work through to get them better, right?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, there are certain things that can cause balance issues that can be a really, really quick fix, you know, within a few visits. And then there's other ones that can definitely take a lot of time. You know, if someone has numbness in their feet, that takes a lot of time to work on. If someone maybe has a simple inner ear issue causing positional vertigo, that can be treated really quickly. So it kind of depends, but, you know, we'll do a lot of the rehab in office and then give patients a lot of at-home exercises to work on to continue to improve their balance. So, it sometimes can take time. You know, I have a lot of stroke patients, you know, with a lot of balance issues, and those can take a long time. Those can take months, you know, to 6 months, you know, plus to really start to get more and more stable because the brain has been really impacted by that event. So not all balance issues are created equal.
Right. Once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Perry Maynard is with us, Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. It is a free consult. All you have to do is mention you heard them here on Your Health Matters. So when you sit down and kind of go with these patients, and I know the way you guys, boy, spend time in that initial consult to find what's going on, is a lot of it just trying to figure out, you know, maybe when these events happen, what they're doing when it happens, how often, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, all of that gives us information. So, you know, the history piece is so important because it can really give us a idea of what the main causes. You know, what my thought is always, the more we can do up front and the more data we can collect up front, it usually shortens the time to recovery. The problem is, you know, in traditional healthcare, when you have 15 minutes to figure out what's wrong with someone, there's no way you can ever figure that out. You know, yeah. That's why we spend 3 hours initially trying to really dive in so that we can choose the exact thing that makes sense. And that really saves money and time on the back end versus spending a ton of time going to a bunch of different doctors and never really having a thorough workup and kind of playing the guessing game, you know, which I find a lot of people do.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess this can present itself in several ways because some people may have that sensation of dizziness or vertigo we talked about, spinning. Some may have the feeling of maybe falling, you know, or the feeling of, you know, falling or the lightheadedness you mentioned, or even will this sometimes affect the eyes? And we may get into Dr. Trinka's area here that's with us from time to time, but sometimes vision can blur too, right?
Oh, for sure. Vision can play a huge role in dizziness and balance issues because we're all so reliant on vision to let us know where we are in the world. So, yeah, it's not uncommon to see changes in vision, you know, blurred vision, double vision, issues in tracking really affect balance. So it definitely true. And, you know, I'm sure Terry will attest to that as well, of seeing that time and time again of, you know, his work being able to improve balance as well.
Sure. Now, then when you throw in a complication, do some people also talk about maybe experiencing, you know, being nauseous or even, you know, just the fainting spells or anything like that with this?
Yeah. It's, you know, certain individuals with balance issues, there can become nausea because I always look at, you know, nausea can be a lot of different things. But when it comes to balance issues, a lot of times nausea is just like, it's like a low-grade car sickness, right? So nausea a lot of times occurs from mismatches in the brain. So if you think about it, when you get car sick from reading a book, what's happening is that there is a visual inner ear mismatch. So as I'm reading the book, my eyes say that I'm not moving, but my inner ear is getting signals as if I'm moving, so they don't match, right? One is saying I'm still, the other says I'm moving. So when there becomes a mismatch in these different systems leading to a balance disorder, it's not uncommon for people to also be nauseous. And when you can find where that mismatch is and improve their balance, a lot of times the nausea goes away with it. So that's one reason for nausea and one reason you can see nausea related to balance issues. Nausea, you can also see related to GI issues or maybe low blood sugar. So maybe someone has low blood sugar, and so they're getting nauseous, and then they're getting dizzy when they stand up, and they're feeling faint. Right. So that could be another way where you could see them all together.
Sure, and you mentioned this, you know, with seniors especially, and some of the shows we do on our referrals for seniors type issues. One gentleman told me about 80% of seniors in nursing homes are there due to a fall. So as we are all around relatives, probably over the next 45 days or so, a little bit more, man, that's one thing you got to stress with seniors, isn't it? Not falling.
that's the important piece, is that unfortunately we know that an older individual's falls are so dangerous because, you know, whether the fall leads to a fractured hip or a concussion, but most often they lead to that individual becoming less mobile. So falls are something that we definitely want to avoid in individuals, because they can make things so much worse. And there's so much that can be done for older individuals working on strength training and training of their feet and balance to hopefully decrease their risk of falling. Because like you said, it can be very, very dangerous for older individuals to experience a fall.
Right. And one article I was reading, kind of preparing for this, it talked about infections could be viral or bacterial that could also cause balance or dizziness disorders.
Yes, that is definitely common to me, and that can happen sometimes. Certain infections can attack the inner ear, so they can throw off equilibrium via the inner ear. The other piece, too, is that infections and the immune system can affect our ability to regulate blood flow, like we talked about earlier. So you're seeing this actually quite common with COVID and things like that, where individuals will start developing what is called POTS, or postural orthostatic tachycardia, which is where they stand and their heart starts to race, right? And so we know that changes in the immune system or inflammation from the immune system can mess with the sensors in our brain that regulate blood flow. And so that this can make individuals very lightheaded on their feet and make them faint or pass out. So that's kind of a few of the different mechanisms of how infections can cause balance issues.
Right. Now, a few more minutes left here, but do you see sometimes medications that people are taking can also affect this?
Medications also definitely can, because medications can affect blood pressure or heart rate, or certain medications can, honestly, you look at the side effects of a lot of medications, and it can be dizziness and being unstable. So it is very important that if you are experiencing these things, to check with your doctor if you are on medication, to make sure that it's not a side effect from your medication, because that is very common.
Okay. Now, when you talk about concussions and things like that, and I don't know, I mean, sports kind of picked back up here after all we went through last year with COVID. Do you see that quite a bit after concussions? I guess it depends on how severe they are, but if someone takes a pretty good blow of the head, this could be something they could have to work through for a while.
Definitely. Balance issues is a very common thing with concussions, and it's actually something in the research that's shown to differentiate individuals who are non-concussed. So I would say 100% of concussion patients have some sort of alteration in balance. They may not describe having subjective balance complaints, but you will find abnormalities in their balance compared to healthy controls. But I'd say, 70%+ of patients will come in complaining of balance issues or dizziness and things like that. So it's very, very common with concussions.
Right. And then one disease that, again, as I was just kind of reading through, Meniere's disease, is that something that causes this as well?
Yep. Meniere's disease can definitely cause balance issues because Meniere's disease is a disease in your ability to regulate certain pressure gradients within the inner ear. So your inner ear is composed of different kind of tubes of fluid. And the problem is that in Meniere's, we don't fully know what causes it, but for me, clinically, I find that it responds similar to that of an autoimmune disease, but that the immune system is attacking the inner ear and kind of messes with the inner ear, which then, of course, is going to lead to balance issues. So more often than not, individuals with Meniere's will have some sort of balance issue.
All right. Last couple of minutes here, but can you tell through all we've been through for almost 2 years now that people are possibly paying a little more attention to their health and immune systems and all that?
I think so. I wish more people were. I was chatting with someone, at this point, close to 2 years in, the amount someone could have changed their health in 2 years could be a ton, you know. So it's I think people definitely are. I think more people. I think it's creating, unfortunately, more division in certain arenas. But I think people are starting to pay attention a little bit more into how diet affects them, how exercise affects them,
yeah.
and really trying to get some of these basic aspects of health in order.
Absolutely. And as we've talked a lot about, you know, with Dr. Stedman as well, I mean, that whole relationship between our, I mean, every time we talk about a topic, almost diet has something to do with it. So that whole brain-gut relationship and what we're eating, and I know January is the big month, everybody thinks about it, but man, there's no better time to try to get in and see you guys and get on a plan now to try to go into 2022 a little healthier.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. There's never a wrong time to start. You know, people like to use the new year as a magic starting point, but really people need to look at this not as a fad or something that they do for a few months, but something that is a lifestyle change, a new way of living life. You know, so really the best time to start is now, you
yeah.
know, not necessarily next week, next month, but the sooner you can start looking at it from that light of making long-term changes versus just doing a diet for a month to lose a few pounds,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not sustainable versus making sustainable changes that will lead to long-term health.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Maynard, hey, we appreciate it, and hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving, and we appreciate your time today.
Thanks. You as well. Happy Thanksgiving, Scott.
All right, you as well. That's Dr. Perry Maynard, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. Give him a call, free consultation. Just mention you heard him here on Your Health Matters.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.